Our scripture reading this morning will come from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in higher places.
It truly is good to see everyone here this morning, and all of our visitors. We are so appreciative of you being here, and it's good to see Matthew actually made it out this morning and feeling up enough to be here. We appreciate that also. You know, this is that holiday weekend where we take the time to remember those who fought and died for this great nation and those who put their lives on the line each and every day, so that we may be able to live in a free country. I would, if you indulge me, I would like all of our veterans to stand, if you be so inclined. It's an honor and a privilege to know each of you, and there are many, I say, that used to hallow these halls here. God bless you. And who are not here, who have passed on, and we deeply appreciate these men's service. And not only just them, but a lot of them also had wives with them too, and they served also in keeping the home fronts. I appreciate you men so very much. This morning, I want to talk about a different military. If you are a Christian, you are part of this army, the Lord's army. As our scripture reading shows, we are not fighting a physical war. We are fighting a spiritual war. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, is what Dale read to us. Ephesians 6. We here have also the armor of God. But this morning, I want to ask a very simple question. Does the church have any war casualties? The answer, sadly, is yes. And there are types of casualties that we will look at this morning. There are Christians today who have promised allegiance to the great commander, to his commission, and to His kingdom. These folks were taught the plan of salvation. They obeyed that plan. With zeal, they went out against a well-trained, well-armed enemy. And they got killed. Their faith was destroyed beyond all help. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we mourn their loss. In the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and it soon sprang up, and it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground. And it sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." Now in these verses that follow to verse 15, Jesus explains what the parable means. Those who are killed in action are those in which the seed was scattered among the rock and among the thorns. both of these seeds grew. And we know this because it says that they received it with joy. But due to the temptations, due to the cares of the world, and to the riches of the world and of life, they fell away. Sometimes, but not very often, these casualties can be revived. By well-meaning and determined Christian medics, some of these killed in action can be restored. But not all are killed in action. There are those who are missing in action. The church carries them on the duty roster, but they only show up for muster on special occasions. If there is any spiritual life in them, it is so little that we have yet to find any equipment that can detect it. In the book of James, in chapter 1, starting in verse 21 and going through verse 25, James writes, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This is how we keep from becoming missing in action. Christianity is action. It is not something that we keep on the shelf. It's not a library of books that we never read. There's a story told of a woman who had been very sick for a long time. And the preacher went to go see her. And as she was in the bed and she was talking to the minister, the minister asked if he would like to read some scripture. And she asked her daughter, "Go get that grand old book that I look at every night." And so her daughter ran out and came in with her movie magazine. That's missing in action. That is the books that sits on the shelf and gets the attention. Well, the grand old book. The book that contains life and liberty collects dust. Most of us, all of us who had served in the military and went through basic training, however long it was, fortunately for us guys, it was 6 weeks, and for others in here, it was a lot longer. 6 weeks was long enough for me. But in those 6 weeks, there was something that we had to commit to memory, the code of conduct for the American fighting man. And it taught us the actions that we take if we were to become prisoners of war. Prisoners of war in God's army are represented by those who are seen on the enemy side of the line and not ours. It's safe to assume that they are prisoners. They identify themselves with us, but they're with the enemy. Now, it's possible that they may have deserted, but they may have been captured or rendered helpless. They may have been drawn to the side of the enemy by soft words. Maybe someone convinced them that they can be comfortable in the skin that they're living in. But the result is the same. They have laid down their arms and they've ceased to fight. It makes no difference about their oath of loyalty or convictions now, because they can't help anyone. As far as the battle is concerned, they're dead and we mourn their loss. In Hebrews chapter 6, it speaks of prisoners of war. In verses 4 through 6, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to a hope and shame." We finally come to our last category, the deserters. These are the ones that we do not know what has become of them. For most nations, those who desert are worse than those who kill, because they have abandoned everything that's looking for them and out for them. These also are still on the roster, but no one has seen them for a long time. In the world's armies during times of conflict, prisoners of war are reported to the International Red Cross. But with deserters, they don't get a report. The Red Cross does not get a letter and say, "So-and-so has deserted, and he's one of ours now." No one from our own command has gone out to look for them. But the deserter knows exactly where his unit is located. They're not here. And so what is the command supposed to do? Do we remove them from the rolls? Do we send out a team to look for them? Paul tells Timothy of one deserter, and he mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me. He loves this present world and has departed unto Thessalonica." Now, Demas was a very good servant. He was with Paul during his first imprisonment in Rome. Demas is mentioned by Paul in his letter to the Colossians in Colossians 4 and verse 14, and also in Philemon verse 24. The Lord's army has many desertions because, let's face it, the attractiveness of the world is great. There's a lot of wonderful things out here to see and to do. There's a lot of things that feel really pleasant. But why is the attractiveness of the world so great? After you've tasted the freedom and the liberty of the Lord's church, it's great because they failed to train. Every single one who served in the military in this congregation knows that we have trained to fight. And our training reflects the fighting. The training's hard because the fighting's hard. And if we want to win, we will train the way we are going to fight. You know, even some of our special forces and their advanced training, they train with live ammunition. And they go into houses that are replicas of villages they would go into. And they train with live ammunition in close quarters.
the percentage of getting killed in training is even greater there. Deserters in the Lord's army, they have read the manual, but they fail to train themselves in the way that they are to fight. This means to put it into practice each and every day. Our commander was so concerned about the missing in action that he left 99 others in the camp to search for that one missing. Luke 15 and verses 4 through 7. Jesus said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which he lost until he found it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So all this brings the question, have you become a battle casualty? If so, God has not left you. God is patiently waiting for you to return to His unit. We sang the psalm, there's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. An ensign fair we lifted up today while the ransom ones we sing. Over land and sea, wherever men may dwell, when the glorious tidings known of the crimson banner, now the story tell while the Lord shall claim his own. When the great commander from the vaulted sky sounds the resurrection day, then before our King, the faint and foe shall die, and the saints shall march away. Marching on, marching on. For Christ count everything but loss. The King of Kings, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. Thank you, Joel, for leading that song. We cannot become casualties of this war, this spiritual war. We cannot allow our family to be casualties. We must work together to lift one another up, to provide the enthusiasm and that spark that keeps us alive. A church that is not running on all cylinders is just wasting gas. And we need to run on all cylinders. If you are a Christian and you find yourself in one of these categories, it's not too late. You can be revived if you've been killed in action. If you've deserted, if you are a prisoner of war, you can be returned to your unit. Repentance goes a long way. And God will forgive. And God will restore you to your rightful place in His command. If you're not in the Lord's army, this day we want to give you that opportunity also. God gave us a very simple plan of salvation. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then to live that faithful Christian life. But in order to live the faithful Christian life, you've got to get the first taken care of. If this morning that is your choice to do this day, we pray that you will not tarry. We may not actually even experience a Memorial Day tomorrow. That's up to the Lord. We only have this very moment today. Whatever desires you have, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we want to give you that opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.